And then I wrote down all the wonderful things, all the, you know, my inventory, all the wonderful things I had done, and, you know, and how wrong I had been feeling. So now when I look at those things, they look like the ravings of a madman, I guarantee you. So anyhow, I was trying to stop drinking, and what happened, it never dawned on me that I was an alcoholic. I met a minister friend of mine, ran a big church in Colorado, and he wasn't an alcoholic either, but he had to go to AA to stop drinking. So I thought, well, if Paul can go to AA, you know, maybe I can too. So I went to an AA meeting. Yet another spiritual experience. Okay, in that AA meeting, this was at St. Paul's, it's called Morning Rush, and in that AA meeting, there were men, and the men were, it was a bank robber, and the bank robber was crying and talking about himself and talking about his family members, and men were being honest. They were talking about fear. I didn't think men had fear, just me. And so that was just astonishing. It was clear that these guys had made profound changes in their lives, changes which had defeated me. I had not been able to change myself. So I really fell in love with it, like, almost immediately. I got a sponsor, and I started doing the steps. So I drank the Kool-Aid, got the underwear. I did all kinds of stupid. I did all kinds of foolish things. There's a thing that says, having just made conscious contact with God, it's not probable. It's not possible that we're going to be inspired at all times. This may manifest itself with all kinds of absurd actions and ideas. And I guarantee you, I did some of those absurd actions. So. My first sponsor was tragically killed in an accident in Africa, and so then I tried to find, work with some other very wonderful men, some of whom are in this room, and then finally found a sponsor that was a little more directive, as I should say, and that's what I needed. I needed somebody who would, be very, let me know what he wanted me to do if I wanted to get sober and have the kind of sobriety that he had. So that was what he was going to do, is teach me, how he got sober and how he repeated what his sponsor did with him. And that was an amazing experience. Now, one of the things that I should mention is I was an atheist. I saw myself as a scientist. Never really worked as a scientist, but I saw myself that way. And I had kind of a low-level degree in physics. And I'm a real atheist. I mean, like, I've got atheist credentials because I, like, give money to the Richard Dawkins Foundation. But the thing about AA was wonderful, is that there's this kind of nudge, nudge, wink, wink thing in there about God. It's like, as we understand him, all that kind of stuff. And we knew that Bill was sort of an agnostic. And so the bar was low for me, which was great. So that's how I was able to get in. And I'm so grateful that, okay. Started working the steps. Now, at that time, one thing I had done was I had made a real mess of my life. I had, especially prior to getting into AA, tremendous resentments against my dad, who had wronged me from day one, literally from day one. He apologized to me for that. And my ex-wife, who just did horrible things to me. Really, she did. And my current, and especially my current wife. And what I found is that when I felt justified anger, I could do tremendous damage to people. I was a single parent. I basically destroyed my little family with myself and my two boys. And the echoes are still of that explosion, you know, are still kind of bouncing off the walls. Hated my dad. With sponsorship, I was able to start eventually see my dad, my ex-wife, and everybody else in the world, for that matter, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, as being, you know, failed, struggling human beings just like myself, trying to do the best they can do. And that just made, and fortunately, that happened right as my dad was starting to have major health problems, so that by the time, you know, he needed, care from me, I was able to be there. And instead of being there, you know, with my wife dragging me up there and hating him, be there for him and love him. And then I'd had a, you know, horrible relationship with my wife, who had wronged me in so many ways, and I was able to, I made an amazing discovery. You know, in the big book, it said on page 86, it says something like, were we kind and loving towards all? And it didn't say, were we kind and loving towards all the people who were being nice to us? Okay? It says, kind and loving towards all. And so what I learned was that the more I focused on my behavior, and the less I paid any attention to anybody else's behavior, of which I clearly had, you know, had no control over. I had marginal control over my behavior, zero control over anyone else's behavior. Well, at that time, there was a very toxic environment in my home. We were fighting all the time, and I read an article about the way they military jets. When they, you know, they got their fuels in the wings, they pump the fuel out of the wings, you know, to fly, and they fill the air. They don't fill the air with the wings with oxygen as the gases of the fuel is depleted. They fill it with nitrogen, because if they fill it with nitrogen and somebody shoots a hole in your wing is not going to blow up. Now, we've got a jet pilot here, so maybe we'll find out whether this is really true later in the weekend, but. But I realized that all of this fighting and toxic environment that was happening in my house, I could completely, by myself, eliminate that toxic environment, because I could just refuse to be the oxygen. And I was told, you know, that I could, you know, pause when agitated and ask for the right thought or action. So I became very successful at that. And things started to change, and my wife started to trust me. And we still had difficulties. So one time I was at this seven-day retreat, and right before I went off to the retreat, my wife said, you know, when are you moving out? And I went to the retreat, and all I meditated about was, when I'm going to move out. And I was like, at that time point, I just had it with her, you know. And so I got special permission from the people running the retreat to be able to talk to my sponsor. And so I called my sponsor, and my sponsor said three words: don't move out. And because he said that, I am very, very happily married today. I came back. It turned out that expression that came out of her mouth was complete. She sort of spun the wheel. She could have said, you look nice, Teddy. She said, don't move out instead. And and I made a big deal out of that. You know, she was like, oh, how was it? You have a great time? So, and I really, I mean, when he said, don't move out, I was very, very disappointed. Because I thought, I have finally got my ticket to get out of here. Okay, so many, many, many wonderful blessings have happened to me in AA. I want to say, talk really quickly about the atheism thing. What's happened to me is my sponsor, said, I don't care what you think Okay. What I care about is what you do. And we heard a little bit about that last night from Alan. And so he wanted me to pray. Like, there's this kind of pray algorithm on page 552 of the big book, where you pray that the other person has all the wonderful things that you have. Well, I did that with my wife. And it worked. I mean, it really did. I was astonished. And I started praying. He made me learn the third step prayer, and we had to get on our knees and, you know, do it together. It was disgusting. And seventh step prayer. So what's happened is that while I absolutely do not believe in God, I pray. I pray all the time, and I pray every day. I go, you know, the 11-step prayer, not every day the 11-step prayer, but, you know, in fact, even prayers that I hate, like I hate the Lord's Prayer. And even that prayer, I say the Lord's Prayer too. I mean, I hate it in AA meetings because it seems like it's very sectarian, you know, it's Christian and so forth. So now I call myself a pray-theist. So I have a higher power. I insist that it is not God. So the other thing I wanted to say was about sponsorship. Okay, people have been lying to you. I hate to break this news to you now. People have been lying to you why you should do the steps. It has nothing to do with getting sober or any of that kind of stuff. The reason to do the steps is if you do the steps, then you can sponsor. And sponsorship is such an amazing deal. It is. It may or may not be of any kind of value to sponsees, but it really helps me. Like a few years ago, I had the privilege, and it was a privilege, of working with a guy he was using the entire time. And sometimes he was slurring his words so much, and I thought, well, he sounds like he's using, but, you know, is that my business? I mean, the fact of the matter was, I made him, which is really fun, you know, get up early, meet with me, you know, because that was the requirement. You want me to be your sponsor, I have certain requirements. You know, we got together every week, we read the book together, we worked the steps together, and I got a tremendous amount of experience. And when finally I got a call from his wife because, you know, he's in the ER or whatever, and the whole thing came out. And, you know, at that point, I did suggest that perhaps he should try something else. But that was a hole in my life. I mean, getting together with a guy and going through the book is a fantastic thing. And I benefited from it immensely. And every time you go through the book, you learn it a little bit better. You see stuff that you hadn't seen before. What a deal it is. And gosh, I just don't know if I can say anything else. Let me just take a look. Yeah. Well, I got that. Yeah. So I guess when it gets down to it, the Christian Scientists are right. Okay. The Christian Scientists say, you know, look at your own behavior and see everybody, no matter how they treat you, treat them as though they're, you know, it's not your business how they treat you. What they think of you, first of all, you don't know what they think of you. If they tell you, it's not your business anyhow. Your business, and that makes it so easy. We don't have to have a conditional behavior algorithm where I will treat you on a basis of the way you treat me. You just have one rule for everybody. You know, whether they're your loved ones, whether they're people that you don't like so much, you just treat them with love and respect. It's very simple. It's a simple-minded program, and that's all you need to do. Thank you.